Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Business at show 749 in our original It's Your Business series, 749. Part of this hour with the 75th edition of the Sioux Empire Fair will include a portion of an interview we did with Mayor Mike Huther and Jim Wooster of the Tri-State Neighbor, talking about agriculture in Sioux Falls. I think you'll find the interview interesting. Plus, we'll visit as well with Scott Verilek from Coima Kamig on the commodity news of the morning. We'll see what's trending with all that's being talked with Russia and the fact that they're putting some embargoes on trade. But let's get started with Tom Johnson, who walked in not with a Russian hat on, but a Yankee hat. Johnson Christensen Law Office, SiouxFallsLaw.com. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
If it's not a cowboy hat, it's a Yankee hat. What's
it's always
about?
A hat. It's always a, yeah. Well, I'm a Twins fan, but I lost a bet.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that hurts, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. It does.
Yeah. And were you betting against the Twins?
Well, it wasn't really a bet. It was kind of a promise. And 2 years ago, I made the promise to a good friend, a Yankees friend, that any time the Twins were under 500, I'd wear a Yankees hat.
You might be wearing that for a couple of years here.
So,
Tom, we're going to talk not about the Yankees or the Russians this morning, but we're going to talk about one of the topics that we have visited before, and it concerns nursing home abuse all over the country. When we assume that it only happens in Mississippi or Oklahoma or in some other part of the country, we get a little surprised. And it happened that way earlier when we looked up a federal court story that involved people right here in South Dakota.
Yeah, that's correct, Bill.
It was a lady that had been charged with the federal side of it, and we saw the story, and it was like, we had just talked about the Mississippi right. and the Oklahoma event.
And there it was.
And said, Bill, how did you know?
I
didn't know. But the truth is there's a lot of good nursing homes, a lot of good nursing homes in the sound of our voice. But you never know when you see a report that says elderly abuse at 1 in 3 nursing homes, if there might not be 1 in 5 or 1 in 10 or 1 in 2 in South Dakota or in our area.
Well, I tend to think that our numbers are probably a little bit better than the average. I think we all think that way about South Dakota. But I guess the point we were making when we were talking a few minutes ago is that even though you could be in a great home, they end up with employees that don't turn out well and situations that don't turn out well. So there's always the chance. And I think it's important for relatives to be watching closely. To be involved in the care of their loved ones who are in a nursing home, to be watchful.
The story, and I kind of showed it to Jody Schwann this morning with the Business Journal and Jesse Schmidt with the Better Business Bureau, and this was an old study that was back January of 1999 to 2001, 9,000 instances of abuse over a two-year period of time. If we were checking reports like that today, would those have gone up or down?
Oh, I think they probably have stayed about the same. I don't sense that there's been any improvement or any worsening. I think it's just kind of an ongoing struggle that the industry has to maintain a good, safe, and wholesome place for the elderly. I don't sense that it's gotten any better. I think that abuse, neglect remains a problem out there. And, you know, I think when this study was done, there were something like 1.6 million people residing in 17,000 nursing homes. Those numbers could only have gone up over the last 10 years. So I guess in the numbers, probably they've gone up. In the percentages, I doubt it.
Tom Johnson, Johnson Christensen Law Office, SiouxFallsLaw.com. What we have shared as well is not only that there are a lot of good nursing homes, there are a lot of good people that work in those nursing homes, but that if something isn't right with a loved one in a nursing home, look at it and see if you can't help.
I've always used the common sense approach. If common sense tells you, if that knot in your stomach tells you that something's wrong, it probably is. And, you know, it can be a variety of different things that can go wrong. It can range from actual intentional abuse, physical or sexual assault. It could be more on the neglect side. inappropriate care. The medications are falling off, cleanliness issues. Sometimes there's passive restraints used, you know, to try and keep people in their beds or in their chairs when other things could be done. Sometimes it's malnutrition or dehydration. Sometimes they just aren't watching carefully enough because it takes a little bit of effort and a little bit of energy to make sure that the elderly folks in a nursing home are eating what they should and drinking what they should and taking the medications they need.
He's Tom Johnson, Johnson Christensen Law. This is one of the things that you do follow, you do take calls on. What kind of calls you're taking?
We end up with usually calls. We've had a lot of falls. That's been a big issue. And, of course, falls are a little bit tricky because when you're older, you do fall sometimes, and sometimes it's really nobody's fault. It's just a part of the aging process. But there are some things that homes can do with falls, and we've seen some patterns that maybe there was a little bit too much of that going on. The medication errors we've seen a fair amount of, over-medicating, under-medicating, not keeping track of the, you know, whether the medications are being administered or not, and that can have grave outcomes because of those medication errors.
Kind of questions that you get from family members without going into something that would be deemed as highly identifiable?
Of course, I get questions on kind of two ends because of our interest in this area. Sometimes I have friends and clients who are questioning about what to look for in a nursing home. And then on the other end, usually, unfortunately, the questions on the potential clients who have had an incident, typically those questions are after the patient, the client has either died or been moved to another facility. The typical question is, what could we have done differently? What should we have done? And why? You know, the why question is always there. Sometimes we have good answers for it, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes there just is no good answer. What we do for the clients who have had an accident and injury is we obtain all of the nursing home records, and we obtain all of the physician's records and hospitalization records, because typically there is a hospitalization involved as well. We bring those into our office, go through them, organize them, decide if it's worthy of forwarding to an expert for review. We typically then send them off, most typically to a nurse who has experience in the nursing home industry, for a review to determine whether or not there is evidence of abuse or neglect. And then we make a decision as to whether or not we're going to take the case.
The study itself did indicate that there were many just taking the profit, taking the federal money, not worrying too much about care.
Yeah, and that brings you to kind of an interesting question as to the nonprofit versus the for-profit homes. I tend personally to be a fan of the nonprofit homes. I think there are a lot of people who might dispute that, but, and I don't particularly have any data on it. I just have a gut feeling about it. The for-profit homes seem to be a little bit more prevalent out on the East Coast, and it would be my observation that they seem to create a few more problems. I think the attorneys that are looking at these cases are, shall we say, a little more active out there than they are here, because they just have a little bit more to work with.
Earlier in another discussion, and we do a lot of Friday interviews with Tom Johnson, in case you're wondering, and we've had some inquiries, so where does Tom show up on your shows? Generally, it's Friday. Generally, it's the 10 o'clock hour. But there was some concerns about theft. There was some concerns as well about, I think it was Mississippi, Vicksburg, Mississippi, where we had some cases that involved some workers that were buying jeans with a credit card from a guy that had lost both legs in a war. Things that were just jumping out at you saying abuse. How come they don't keep an eye on this? But that end of it, when you've got people in a nursing home, they're many times towards the end of their lives, and it's very, very, well, it's easier for people to maybe get access to credit cards, to things that maybe involve wills, involve people that really make them susceptible to what's going on?
Yeah, they certainly are susceptible to those thefts. That's an area that probably our office is not going to be involved in a lot because the thefts in this age group are typically fairly small. They're financially insignificant to most of us, but they're incredibly significant to the residents of those homes. The reality is that I think it's about two-thirds, I'm not positive that number is right, of the residents at nursing homes are on Medicaid, and they have very limited funds. I think they're allocated either $30 or $60 a month, something like that, that they can spend out of their own typically Social Security check. But those who do have assets and do have enough the wherewithal to pay for the care on their own without governmental assistance will have sometimes an account that the nursing home is supposed to be watching over, and that the Mississippi story was on one of those people. And even with that $30 that somebody gets, there's plenty of potential for abuse there, and I'm sure there is some from time to time.
So we talk about nursing home abuse and neglect cases. You also have some other areas of expertise that Johnson Christensen Law provides.
Yeah, there are primarily four areas that we're reaching out to people for. One is Social Security disability. It's one of my favorite ones because of my personal connections with the disability citizens, the disabled citizens, excuse me. Another is personal injuries. That's typically car accidents is the most typical personal injury. But frankly, there are a fair number of things. Could be a slip and fall. Those are kind of tough cases, but we've done a few slip and falls that have worked out. And could be almost anything where somebody negligently harms you. Workers' compensation is another area that we reach out to people for. We are pursuing a fair number of work comp cases. Typically, those work comp cases are older workers and workers who are not always older workers, but workers who are injured to such an extent that they're really unable to work on a permanent basis. Though we give a fair amount of counsel and advice on pretty much a for free basis to anyone with a work comp claim, with a work comp problem. So those are the four areas. And then nursing home abuse, of course, we reach out to people too because that's an area that we're very interested in. We've had a number of cases that have worked out. But in general, anytime somebody's hurt by someone else's negligence, we'll take a look at it. Got a couple of professional negligence cases going on that we're taking a look at.
And we know your daughter listens all the time. She always likes to hear what Dad's going to say.
Yeah, I'm not sure. She had today all messed up. I talked to her at 9. She says, I know you're going to be on the air in a minute. I said, no, you're an hour early. So I don't know if she's listening or not today.
But she can go to the podcast and get that information, much like the callers want to know, is where can we get the help from Tom Johnson? In addition to SiouxFallsLaw.com, other ways to reach you?
Locally, 335-1778 or toll-free 1-877-335-1778. And don't ever forget SiouxFallsLaw.com. That's where we're at.
What a great address to have for a website, SiouxFallsLaw.com. Anything else we should know this morning?
It's raining. It's going to goof up golfing today.
Well, and maybe it'll wash your Yankee hat.
Oh, I'm stuck with that for a while.
Yes, you are. If you got to wear it when they get back to above 500.
Yes, not going to be this year.
Well, it's going to be a while, I'm afraid, yeah.
Tom Johnson, always a pleasure to visit with you. And as people have told us, just listening to Tom, getting the advice, you never know when you'll need the help. SiouxFallsLaw.com. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Welcome back to It's Your Business. The Sioux Empire Fair continuing today. The Corn Acres opened at 10 o'clock, just about 23 minutes ago. And you can play Ag Rules Bingo. Kids can do a little seed planting, enjoy free popcorn, and grab sweet corn at 11. South Dakota pork producers have a cooking demonstration at 11 today, the Survivor Family Game, 3 to 7. And hear the music of Scott McCreary tonight at 8 at the Dollar Loan Center main stage.
Free sweet corn, Bill. And, you know, I was really surprised the other day when we did the Ag Show and they said only 1% of corn grown is actual sweet corn.
That didn't surprise you? Or it did surprise
it
you?
It did surprise me big time, yeah.
So, well, there's more cows
because I probably
people.
Eat about half that 1% myself. So.
You think so. All right, Craig Marquardt, Advanta Mortgage. Craig, what are you up to this morning?
I am just looking at the rates here, Bill. How are you?
Well, we have our big real estate home builders report card show on Monday. What are you seeing as you get the camera ready to shoot this morning?
Well, interest rates are improving since Monday, and they're creeping down slow and steady. We haven't seen enough of an increase in the improvement to change the interest rate yet, but it takes a little bit of a few steps at a time to make a big change to where we can see it out in the public. So the Fannie Mae 30-year fixed rate is holding steady this morning where it was on Monday at 4.25% with an APR of 4.443%.
We heard a story on Fox Business News in the last hour which talked about the FICO scores and the fact that some things were going to be changing there or could be changing, which would forgive some past debts, making it easier for people to go ahead and get a loan. Have you heard much about that so far?
I believe what they're talking about is historical debt, like very old debt. I believe that they're looking at taking that out of the calculation, and beyond that, I don't know anything else. And so I think it's just designed to help show a little bit more recent history in the credit score ratio versus the old previous history from 5 years plus.
Well, that's always an area that concerns people when they go to buy a house or they sit down with Craig or sit down with Jordan or whoever it might be at Advanta or some other lender, that you discover that there are some things on their report card that need some work. What would you advise people if they're in that second season coming up, getting ready to buy a house?
Well, I would have them look at their credit bureau, and I would actually recommend people come and talk to one of us as early as 6 months in advance of wanting to buy a house, just so they can see what their credit report looks like. Whether they believe that they have perfect credit or not, 2008 and 2009 and 2010 was very challenging time with the U.S. economy, and so there are some things that occurred out there that might have affected people's credit reports negatively, and it's always a good time to take a look at things and get them patched up or cleaned up a little bit well in advance of being motivated to buy a house.
You know,
never want to buy a house or going to look at houses before you've reviewed your credit bureau.
You know, you mentioned that 6 months in advance. That's pretty good advice this morning, because the number of people that wind up working on their credit and then want to make an offer on a house with a inventory that's a little lower than it's been in the past makes it even more difficult. So if you find the house, you don't want something standing in your way.
You know, although we've been seeing superior credit scores over the past 3 years, it might be because those folks that had a few blemishes from the downturn in the economy, maybe they're not out looking at houses and not applying for home loans. So this change in the FICO scores calculations, that might be one reason to get those folks out and about looking at houses and helping improve the economy.
18-7.
We always have an on-call mortgage banker, and this week it is Jordan. And if you call even after 5 o'clock, you'll be able to get in touch with our on-call mortgage banker, get any quotes, talk about interest rates or even home payments based on properties that you're looking at. You can even apply over the telephone or even online at www.advantamortgage.com.
Craig Marquardt, Advanta Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on. You have a good weekend, and we'll talk with you on Monday.
Will do. Thanks, Bill.
When we get back, we'll talk and replay our segment with Tri-State Neighbors Jim Wooster and Mayor Mike Huther. Agriculture in Sioux Falls, how big is it? Welcome back to It's Your Business. Scott Verilek, Coima Kamig, is the commodity reporter, generally 11:30 on Kello News Talk, 1320 1079. But he's on the road today. Scott, where are you headed?
Yeah, morning, Bill. Just back in Geddes, South Dakota, back to the folks. Doing some stuff with the family here today.
Do you have a honey-do list out there?
No, it's more like a mother-do list, so, and my brother, I guess, so.
Well, great part of the state, and we've appreciated all you've done for us. What is trending this morning? I know you keep track of it regardless of where you might be.
Well, we've got some pretty big news that kind of started trickling into the markets yesterday to make everything nervous. It doesn't really change the fundamentals of the individual markets, but everybody's looking at the Russian import ban. That was started, talked about 2 days ago, but yesterday it really affected the markets, where Russia said they were not going to take any more imports of food from the United States or Europe. So it really kind of got brushed off right away, you know, in a few of the different markets. But, you know, we don't sell them any beef. We do sell them some pork and poultry, as well as some grains as well. So today we're fighting limit down again, second day in a row on the live cattle and the feeders. And I've got the hogs were, you know, near the limit down yesterday and down hard again. So you've just got overall reaction of just plumb nervousness in the market. A lot of the longs heading for the door, trying to get out when you got some tension. Sounds like there's some rumors that even Putin is starting to think, you know, maybe this ban might get lifted a little bit, because I think it'd be tough for them to not, you know, to shut off all their food and make their food higher priced in their own country. But that's a whole another story. We just kind of have to react and with what we have, where our risk is at, and you've got a lot of liquidation. We've still got cash cattle trading at 160 and 161, so. The market's still okay fundamentally. It's nothing right here that's affecting us. It's just this overall issue just really got everybody nervous.
I'm going to tell you at this point that Monday we're going to start our ag show at 10 o'clock with a couple of experts on that area. Would you like to join with us in that discussion?
I would imagine we're still going to be talking about that one on Monday pretty hard in the markets. It's number one in what we're talking about right now.
All right, so. We will start our show at 10:07 Monday with you and with the two experts in studio talking about that and what you're seeing Monday morning. Could be quite a bit of difference, we can all always hope, between now and Monday.
Well, that's right. I'm getting sick of all this red on my screen, and our phones just kind of ring off the hook when everybody's nervous and everybody wants to know what's going on. And I wish I had a crystal ball to tell us when we were going to stop. But when you got an outside influence like this, it can do some weird things.
All right. When our audience needs to see why their screen is red and they're calling you, how do they reach you?
Yeah, give us a call, 1-800-358-3047.
Scott Verilek, Coima Kamig, thanks for joining us. Enjoy your stay, and do that to mother-do list out in Gettysburg.
All right, thanks, Bill.
All right, we did do an interview on Wednesday from the Sioux Empire Fair, which was Jim Wooster with the Tri-State Neighbor and Mike Huther from the mayor's office here. He runs it, but we get to see what they're saying about agriculture and how Sioux Falls sets up. Here's a good portion of that interview. Mayor, we are going to talk a little bit about the article that was in the Tri-State Neighbor that was written by Barry Amundson.
Yes.
Barry did a great job, and you told me about it a week or so ago. And when I read the article and then talked a little bit with the people at the Tri-State Neighbor, I said, let's put together and talk leading into that luncheon today about agriculture. Does that make sense to you?
It really does, and you're right. Barry did a great job capturing what we were trying to get across in terms of how Sioux Falls is impacted by ag. But then when you throw in Jim Wooster, who is the biggest cheerleader for agriculture in our state, in this area, I think that we'll be able to talk in a pretty eloquent way about how this city ticks and how ag makes it hum.
What I'm going to do is throw some jump balls up.
Sure.
And we were talking sports a minute ago, so we can certainly do that. And one dealt with Worthington Ag Parts that actually moved from Maple Grove to Sioux Falls. And then they saw a little something here that was special. You want to talk first, Mayor, and then
sure.
Jim, jump in.
Well, I'd be happy to. You know, I think that everybody focuses on Smithfield Foods or John Morrell when they think about ag. And what Barry and I talked about that day, Jim, was that there's these others like Worthington Ag or Glanbia or Raven or Poet. You know, these are all just monsters in terms of their ag impact here in the city. And Worthington Ag is one of those that they kind of drank that Sioux Falls Kool-Aid, and now they're spreading it all across the area, and they're hiring great people, growing not only here in Sioux Falls and in America. Well, Worthington Ag, they're making an impact all across the world.
I might add, too, most of those jobs in agriculture, as the mayor knows, are darn well-paying jobs with benefits. I mean, and I'm talking about entry-level jobs into an ethanol plant or into Worthington Ag or you name it. I mean, they're good jobs. They're the kind of jobs that can keep our kids that are going to school at Augie or South Dakota State or Black Hills that will help keep them in the state. And we need our young talent because, as you know, Mayor, more than anybody, one of our big, I wouldn't call it concerns, but one of the things we work on is workforce. I mean, a workforce to keep up with what we're doing in the city.
Jim, can you imagine we're even saying that?
I know.
Here we are in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. For generations, we were talking about creating this environment where young and old would wanna stay. Yeah. And now we've got 2,000 jobs available in Sioux Falls right now. So whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're from a small town or a big town, we need you here to fill those jobs, many of which are ag-related. Yeah. And as Jim Wooster said, they are paying well, great benefits, and great quality as well.
You know, we mentioned South Dakota, we mentioned Sioux Falls, but as you said, there's a lot of towns that are just across the border in Iowa, in Minnesota, that are right here that tie in, that relate to Sioux Falls, and we relate to them because there's a lot of bedroom communities that want the jobs here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking about it, being a good neighbor, even though they're not from South Dakota, I just did a ribbon cutting over here, a brand new spanking building here at the Sioux Empire Fair. The Pipestone team. Yep. Here they are investing their time, their talent, and their treasure in the city of Sioux Falls. And now we've got 11 new piglets that we're showing off.
I saw that.
We're trying to teach these city boys and girls about ag. Yeah. What a great way to do it. And our Pipestone friends are making it happen.
And it's first class. To anybody that's listening that's coming to the fair, make sure you find it and walk through. It really is. It's great. Can I just follow up on that?
Please
on
do.
Our neighbors, the Tri-State Neighbor has a readership of about 28,000. I'm not in on that kind of, but anyway, but you'd be
a
surprised how much of that comes, and it's all farmers and ranchers, and they all get it through a sign-up subscription. So it's not to just mail it to a mailbox. They want to, but boy, I can't tell you our percentage. Randy Arndt could, but of Northwest Iowa, Southwest Minnesota, you get to Larchwood, Rock Rapids, Sioux Center, Ireton, Laverne, Worthington. Those are our stockyards. We always said we're all one. We're all kind of one family because they were our customers. Even though they're across the line, they were just as close as Mitchell. And I mean, this 200-mile radius, and probably further as the city grows, but we always thought of about 200 miles around Sioux Falls in any state, northeast Nebraska, is all. We're all kind of part of one family, and that's a fact.
It's called the Tri-State Neighbor.
Yeah, right.
And I don't want to minimize the impact of the people outside of South Dakota.
No.
I just I had the opportunity to go to the Empire Mall, and they just invested millions in the Empire Mall. And here's what they said, and it really caught me by surprise, but it's so true. They believe that the MSA is a million strong around the Sioux Empire Mall. And what that means is that these farmers, these ranchers, these families, these small towns in Minnesota, in Iowa, in North Dakota, in Nebraska, and yes, South Dakota, my goodness, they're making a huge impact. And that's why your readership is so dang strong, Jim.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing I think about, like the Poets, for example, or the Smithfields, as they grow and get better, you know, 20 years ago it was hard for a chemistry major from one of our universities to stay here. There wasn't a $40,000 job in chemistry. There is now. I'm telling you what. And I just used chemistry. I think I got a D in that, if I remember right. So it's not like I know anything about it.
I ran away.
Nobody's that
so long ago. I ran away from chemistry so fast.
But those are the kind of professional jobs that we're able to offer now because of agriculture.
One of the things that we're trying to do with this partnership, and the mayor actually helped me get my National Association of Farm Broadcasters seal, and you were very nice to make some nice comments about what we're trying to do in Sioux Falls. Mayor, I appreciate that, and you know that we now work with Jody Swan, the Business Journal. We need to be working with you guys with this ag show, which is the only full-fledged ag show that is each week. With all the features you have and partner back and forth, we can help each other and help the ag side of it.
Yeah, I listened. I like the business program, but I especially like what you're doing with the ag connection. You know, we've got a gentleman that was a former ag secretary. I just ran into him at the children's home thing the other night, Walt Bones. And there's a guy that would really fit in with a lot of what we're talking about here. He's so knowledgeable. He's got such a base. And yet he's a get him in the dirt and get on the tractor and sort the cattle farmer just west of town. And you know Walt, so just kind of keep
in
mind.
He's working a groundworks project right now.
Oh, great.
That's making a big deal from SDSU with Lenox, with Del Rapids, some communities that really is kind of catching fire as well. Mayor, are we on the right track with agriculture?
I think that, again, as agriculture grows and progresses and wins, it's great for South Dakota, but it's also incredibly special for Sioux Falls because, as I mentioned in that article, when Sioux Falls does well, South Dakota does well, but when South Dakota does well, Sioux Falls does well. I think we're on the right track and in so many ways. I just love how ag not only was the foundation of our town, but now we're just even strengthening that foundation even more with the companies like the Worthington Ags, the Ravens, the Poets, the millions of dollars that are being invested in Smithfield. And I just love, hey, we got rain today. So all the farmers and ranchers are going ka-ching, ka-ching. And guess what? This mayor at the same time is going ka-ching, ka-ching.
All right. Jim, you and I both have done a lot of reporting through the years. The mayor was pretty good about using this article to send a message to Smithfield. Spend some money in Sioux Falls to have a better facility.
Yeah. I hope I'm not relaying too much of a scoop here, but we've had many conversations with the good folks at Smithfield Foods and John Morrell. They are already investing millions into their plant, and if they invest more millions, they want to do it in Sioux Falls. I know that that facility seems old and out of date, but guess what? It is the most productive within the Smithfield organization. That plant in Sioux Falls is their gold star, is their cash cow, and they realize they're just going to put more butter on their bread. It's going to be done in Sioux Falls.
Yep.
And it talked, too, about the number of prize pigs that they are sending to market. I mean, you figured out a way to get all of those. Do we have to watch out for guys like that that can always find?
Well, there's 11 more over in the Pipestone Bar
right now.
12 or whatever it was. But I just, you know, when you think about putting 20,000 pigs in the west end of the plant and then it's all meat coming out the east every day, 5 days, that's huge. I mean, that's just huge. But, yeah, we're both big fans of the plant. You know, and I'm sure you get it, Mayor, in your office. I get it over coffee. You get it officially over. But, well, how long are they going to be? Well, as soon as they're, trust me, I'll be gone long before that process.
And we need Smithfield Foods. We need them in this town. And I'm going to be cheerleading for them as long as I'm the mayor, that's for sure.
I think we can quickly, tomorrow, we'll both be at 105th birthday party. They call it Pride Day.
Yes.
Right on the grounds of Morrell, hot dogs and ham and this and that and entertainment. I can't remember the Hauser. He's coming down to sing for all the employees. He's going to be here tomorrow night on the grounds. But, they're a great institution.
Does it surprise you that agriculture is the number one industry in South Dakota, $24 billion, the latest number that we've seen out of Lucas Lynch's office?
It doesn't surprise me, but I think that we'll both agree that ag had to evolve in order to maintain that status. I remember when I was a young buck at SDSU in the early 80s. I mean, what a trying time for ranchers, for farmers. I mean, my goodness gracious, they were barely hanging on. If those farmers and ranchers didn't evolve, it wouldn't be that way. But guess what? They did. They did, and that's why they are still such a strong foothold. And Jim, you've watched it more than anybody.
And the best and brightest now that are returning. This is, in the last 20 years, to be able to see, I have friends who now have four generations in their operation. The little guy is only riding more, but you've got grandpa, the son, the grandson, and the great-grandson, and that's, we've needed that. And I got to say something else about when the mayor and I were growing up, if we went to Chamberlain for an ice cream cone, that was a pretty big deal. Farm people now, to their credit, have realized the importance of family and trying to do some things once in a while away from the farm, not feeding the cattle. And our city offers great weekends for them, and they take advantage of it.
Oh, you bet.
They'll come in on Friday, and they'll get their room rented. They'll swim. Maybe go to a movie, get something to eat, go to the zoo. And I'm glad for them. And I'm not knocking my parents. We just didn't do that.
Yep.
It just wasn't something that – but, boy, they do. They understand that as a family, we got to do some quality things that are not on the farm, that are not 4-H, that are just us, that we go away. And they're doing that in our city in droves.
Well, I think that we should maybe take the covers off of a topic. There used to be a strong, strong anti-Sioux Falls sentiment when it came to the rest of the state, the rest of this area. And I think that we're beginning to knock that down because we are working so much as a team. Again, when these small towns do well, Sioux Falls does well and vice versa. When we have the Summit League basketball tournament in Sioux Falls now, these people from all over South Dakota and Iowa and Minnesota, they're coming into our town, and then we're celebrating together. And I just love it. Is there still some anti-Sioux Falls sentiment? Absolutely. There is. But we're knocking that down, and I'm proud to be part of it.
You mentioned the Summit. My best friend started in 58. He's a rancher named Bobby Ackley from Oneida, who sat with you at Summit Games. Anyway, to make a long story short, I get a phone call. I just had heard that the Summit tournament was coming to Sioux Falls. He calls me. He says, I got four rooms at the Sheraton for 2 years from now. I said, for what? He said, the Summit. Jim, this is going to be a big deal in your town. Well, he got it way before I did.
Yes.
And he's got those rooms every year. He checks in. He goes to the game. He understood what was happening with that particular, and we got a lot of those efforts in the city, but he truly did. The day he heard about this, he called the Sheraton and says, I want some. And all the hotels do well during that.
And I'm so sorry. We're so excited. We're taking your bill. We're
no,
taking over.
But I like to listen.
I got to keep going because when I see those folks, one of the first questions I ask is, so did you buy a new pickup?
Yeah.
And he'll go, Mayor, I bought one last year. And then he'll go, oh, so what did your bride buy?
Yeah.
And that, again, is the power of ag in Sioux Falls. It's not only the jobs that they're creating, but it's that economic development dollar that they're bringing here, too. You know, our new event center, 6 out of every 10 people that come to our new event center, they're coming from out of town. And they're bringing a purse with them. They're bringing a billfold with them, and they're bringing either cash or a credit card, and they're using it in our great city.
Well, you know, you've got two great companies that you're working with. You're dealing with the Tri-State Neighbor and, of course, Midwest Communications.
Love them both.
You guys have been smart, too. You've been doing a lot of work with Slater Bar on trade shows, trade publications, consultants, getting the word out, and you'd like to see a trade show much like they do in San Antonio.
Well, I...
Not that you haven't spent any time in San Antonio.
Well, I'll tell you, we've got this thing that Jim Wooster really got going,
that's
and it's called our new event center. Now we've got the arena, the convention center, the event center, all in one monster facility. And so our ability to get Pheasant Fest, our ability to get a stock show and rodeo, our ability to get one of the largest farm shows in America in Sioux Falls. We can do it, Jim Wooster. We can
I'm
do it, Bill Zorman.
I'm 74 and I'm getting excited. I've been excited for years. I'm just getting, but it's not. You know, I can remember as we were talking about building, adding on, the people that run Midwest shows, that's our Sioux Empire Farm Show. This is 2 years ago. Had 56 people on a waiting list that wanted to get in and 40-some that wanted to expand their current booth. Now they can do it. Now they can do that. I mean, they run a great show, but now they've got the facility to add to what they're doing, and they've been waiting for this.
Jim Wooster, Tri-State Neighbor, Mayor Mike Huther, talking about agriculture. It's all a part of Ag Appreciation Day. When we come back, we'll check the numbers of the morning.
One of the It's Your Business experts that's well known in the Sioux Falls area is Dakota Radon Mitigation's Mike Austed. Mike is from the Austed family, yes, a part of the A-Team. In addition to doing the radon work in the metro area, recent road trips took him to Artesian, Brookings, Yankton, Milbank, and Viber. His A-Team professionally certified mobile radon mitigation unit reaches all over our listening area.
In eastern South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa, radon gas is a major factor in the homes of our lives. Check the official South Dakota website, sd.gov, and go to the health department to get a radon test kit. A 2011 South Dakota report showed that the average home in South Dakota that does test high for radon is over twice the recommended level. If you need help with a test, whether it be for a house sale, closing, or just concerned about the safety of your family, call Mike Austed, the A-Team, at 201-4704. If you need radon mitigation, I'm right here.
I'm Tony Bachman with Keller Williams. Canterbury Village, all in easy living, East Sioux Falls, just east of Sycamore and Madison. Canterbury Village is about people, people like Tom Johnson.
For the last 4 years, we've kind of been searching for a home. When we went to looking for a home with all the amenities on one level, it became a challenge in Sioux Falls. In addition to Canterbury Village having that, no steps, that requirement of our search was met. To see the parties that they had on a monthly basis, to see the sense of community that already exists there, it was a no-brainer for Cheryl and I to be part of that.
Canterbury Village is not in some far-off land. The builder, Brad and Tammy, bring years of skill, craftsmanship, and love to this project. Condo starting in the 260s.
We schedule open houses almost every weekend, but if you'd like a private tour, just call us at 275-0555 or visit us online at youronlinehomeguide.com.
Canterbury Village. Sounds like home to me.
The Midday Commodities Report from Coima and Kamek. Weekday mornings at 11:30. Kello. News Talk 1320 107.9.
Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones, joins us with the Main Street to Wall Street Report. Were you signing on to what the mayor was saying there, Todd?
Morning, Bill. Morning, everyone. I enjoyed that interview. Great job. And the excitement and the enthusiasm that those guys have is amazing and catchy. But as I was telling Rev, there is no way I could live up to that this morning.
You'll do good.
Morning, everyone. Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones bringing you the daily financial market report. U.S. stocks are little changed and bond prices are gaining on ongoing concerns about crises in Iraq and the Ukraine. In corporate news, McDonald's reported sales at stores open at least a year slumped in July, dragged down by weakness in the U.S. and the impact of the food safety scandal in China. On the economic front, U.S. workers were more productive in April through June quarter, and labor costs rose slightly, a sharp turnaround from a weak first quarter figures. So far this morning in the S&P 500, the best performing sector is utilities. Worst performing sector is telecoms. Around 10:30, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 43 points at 16,412. The S&P 500 index is up 2 at 1,911, and the NASDAQ is up 7 at 4,341. Volume on the New York Exchange has traded about 150 million shares. Advancers are outnumbering decliners by a 3-2 margin. In commodity markets, gold is down $1.38 at 1,311. Silver is trading at about 20 bucks. And crude oil prices are trading at $97.55. In some stocks of local interest, Daktronics is trading at $11.37. Citigroup is down 8 cents at $47.98. Raven is up 47 cents at $29.02. Summit Hotel Properties is trading at $10.75. And Meta Financial Bank is up $2.17 today at $39.65. This is Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones, a member of the SIPC, serving individual investors with personalized attention, long-term financial advice in Sioux Falls, bringing you this Wall Street to Main Street report, Bill.
And Todd, when our audience needs more information, and obviously they do all the time, how do they reach you?
Locally, 371-0375 or at todd.neuberger@edwardjones. Many ways to get a hold of us.
Todd, I always appreciate you and hope you have a good weekend.
You guys too. Take care.
One last stop, and that would be where, Rev?
Probably the place where I used to mow the lawn all the time.
Did you do a good job?
Well, of course. Yes, Bill. I did the best job Valentino's ever had, didn't I, John?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, if you're still interested, we might hire you back.
Okay, I'll stop by later.
Yeah. He can always use a couple of bucks.
Yeah, I'm always open for something. Yeah.
We did have a winner in our salad quiz in the first hour, but Joy had written it in such a way that we got to include something besides veggies on the question. I liked that. And the winner, do you remember who it was? Rev is a wild last name. Dan the Man, I think, if I remember right. But he won dinner for two at Valentino.
It was Don Malater.
There you go.
Don Malater from Sioux Falls. Don was the winner. He knew that the cookies and cream is actually on the salad bar, Bill. So
yes, and I guess I eat that all the time, so I guess I eat on the salad bar. You do have a fish Friday, and you do have a brunch. Let's give them some respect.
Yeah, we have a really tremendous fish fry. We, a lot of customers come in on Friday specifically for the fish. They say, you know, it's hard to find good fish anymore. And we have a way of lightening the batter so it's crisp and thin. So the full flavor of that fish comes through instead of the just the crust. And then, of course, on Sunday, we open at 9 a.m. for Sunday brunch. Got a ton of brunch items like sausage, ham, and bacon. We have, of course, scrambled eggs. We have two different egg casseroles that are really, really outstanding. We have fruit on the salad bar. We have orange juice. We have, of course, waffles and French toast. We make our own muffins and biscuits, or biscuits and gravy.
I'm hungry now. I know we talk on Crow every day, Bill. Valentino sponsors the drive home at 5 o'clock. And they have carry out there. And, you know, before you get off work, you call Valentino's. You can go pick up a family-sized lasagna with breadsticks for under $15, right, John?
Yep. And we get a lot of people that do that for the carry out. It's really catching on. It's still some of one of the best-kept secrets in Sioux Falls, but people are finally realizing, okay, you can take it with you.
Oh, yeah, you can. That's a good one.
Depends on where you're going.
Yeah. Well, we have people that come from Western South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa and pick up our frozen hard-baked pizzas
after
they eat.
Good idea.
And so that way they get some at home.
All right, John Valentino's. Glad we had a winner. We'll look for another winner in our quiz on Monday. You have a great weekend.
You too.
Rip, thanks for all you've done today. We've done enough damage. Shall we go to the house?
I suppose, yeah.
My time's up. Thank you for yours.